never rests.
Happy Wednesday. It's the Georgia Show. I'm Jake Roos. He's Jake Rowe. We're from Dogs HQ. And the Georgia Show is brought to you by American Pride Bank. American Pride Bank is a bank for small business owners who want local, fast, flexible solutions. Whether you're looking for a loan to expand or need everyday banking, we got you covered. And you'll always talk to a decision maker. You can visit them in Athens, Alpharetta, online at AmericanPride.bank. Your community bank, your trusted partner, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender. We appreciate American Pride Bank being a partner of the Georgia Show. Welcome in, everybody. It's an exciting time here. We're in the midst of spring practice, and things are rolling right along, Jake Rowe. It's been an interesting one, I think, this week. We talked on Sunday and had a chance to catch up, but Kirby Smart took to the mic yesterday, as did several of the Dogs, and there were some pretty interesting comments out there. We'll say day after St. Patrick's Day didn't sound like it was too kind for the old Georgia Bulldogs.
Sounded like Palmer introduced me to a term years ago called hangover legs. And I had to ask him what it was. And honestly, I didn't. It was almost like buying a new car. You buy a car and you're like, hey, I think I got kind of a different looking vehicle. And then you see a bunch of them on the road. Once he kind of told me about this, I started noticing it myself. And it's kind of these aches and pains you get after you've thrown down for something such as St. Patrick's Day, for instance. It sounds like the Bulldogs might have been a little lethargic yesterday. Green beer, apparently, not real good for the endurance.
Yeah, I could see that. I imagine Irish car bombs also not real strong. They create cottage cheese in your belly if you don't know how an Irish car bomb works. Those things curdle up. But it's one of those things, man, that the Dogs get out there, they get after it. And Kirby Smart, man, did not hold back after practice. Really offered some pretty interesting criticisms, some more open ones than I thought. And Jake, a lot of people on Dogs HQ kind of pointed to the idea that, yeah, he probably was legitimately frustrated and challenging this team, but also there's a lot to be said about the youth and the talent on this team. And he mentioned something that really kind of caught my ear, which was there are guys out here that are not really digging being coached the way that we coach them, but the standard's the standard. We're going to do it the way that we do it. What kind of caught your ear about that? I mean, is that just coach speak, or was Kirby kind of coming from the heart a little bit more than we may be used to seeing him?
Well, I'll say he did circle back later and talk about kind of they deal with that, you know, year after year, that I don't think that this group is necessarily unique in that way, but I do think they have uniquely pissed him off in that way. I think they have uniquely got under his skin real quickly into spring practice with it. It wasn't just what we saw on camera because, listen, this is not a big deal or anything, but Kirby came charging into the media room to begin with. Threw a four-letter word out real quick, not at us, but just kind of the kind of four-letter word you throw out whenever you, like, forget something and you need to come back. He stormed right back out, said he had a question about something, and was gone for another 3 or 4 minutes before he came right back in and was the, you know, with that Festivus energy that I said he had. I'm like, I've got some grievances with you people. And he was letting them, the airing happened in front of us all. It was very interesting press conference. And listen, I kind of enjoyed it. If I'm being totally honest, like, listen, we get a lot of coach speak out of guys. I mean, I've got a PhD in that stuff. Like, I mean, if they were ever to the point where they wanted to kind of open up a degree program at a good university about coach speak, I believe I could teach it. Like, I believe I could break it down and be like, hey, listen, running around a little bit means still 6 weeks away from being able to play. You need to know that, you know.
Sure.
And I'm channeling one of my inner teachers. He used to give us a study pack, and he'd be like, hey, this, and this. You need to know that. Highlight it. Study it.
Week to week, probably never see him again.
What's that?
I said week to week, probably never see him again.
Probably never see him again. He's in witness protection. He saw something he wasn't supposed to see, and now he's, you know, he's trying to live his life. But listen, I mean, we can get into this for a second. I mean, we don't have to just like leave it up there. I mean, this is ours. This, we got rights to this video and it's on YouTube and all that stuff. Let's see what, I mean, you tell me, what everybody out there, what do you think of Kirby's demeanor here? He's already threatening to go home.
Did you figure out how to patch the audio through on this?
Oh, does it, do I not have audio? Yeah. Doggone it. I thought that would work just fine.
Yeah, I could see where you were coming from, but I wondered when you clicked that.
I was hoping we would get that. All right, guys, we don't know what we're doing. So that's how it goes.
Double down, make it fill the screen, take it away. Make it look easy.
I thought I was onto something, but I wasn't. We tried to patch that Kirby in here. We didn't get it in here. But
read us one of the quotes. Of it,
first thing the man says is, listen, y'all got any questions, or I could go home right now. The first thing he says. But yeah, he was surly. And listen, surly Kirby's is a likable Kirby. If you're a Georgia fan, surly Kirby's, I'll be honest with you, I thought he was more positive than he'd ever been last year. And I'm not saying that, you know, hey, Kirby's going to get mean and things are going to get better. But Kirby was kind of super positive last year. And I noticed that throughout. And I didn't know if it was confidence, like I've got a really good football team, or if it was kind of, hey, this is a veteran team that kind of needs to be encouraged. This is a veteran team that I know can kind of handle. And maybe that was a miscalculation. I couldn't tell you. But I thought that he kicked it off with an element of candor that we don't normally see from him or anybody else. And the players weren't there. They weren't watching it. But several of them, I feel like, followed suit and had some very interesting comments of their own.
Yeah, I thought so too. You know, one of them was Monroe Freeling to me. I thought that his comments were pretty interesting, basically saying like, you know, they were kind of, it felt like there was some degree of like, let's just get by. And I think, I can't remember, did Kirby say this or was it just one of those things that popped up on the message board that someone took out of it? Survive instead of thrive. I don't know. Did he say that?
He did. He said it about the young players. He said that a lot of them are trying to get through practice. They're trying to survive practice as opposed to trying to thrive practice.
And, now, you know, see, I think right there, and I think it was Fry Dog on the board that said, you may have your mantra for the year right there. Don't survive, got to thrive. You know, this is one of those things that I could see where he was coming from. And it felt like that's kind of what Monroe Freeling was saying in his comments as well. You know, I thought Jordan Hall had some interesting stuff as well. To me, it was clear. You mentioned, you know, the candor of Kirby Smart, but it felt like that. I agree. It felt like it spilled over to the players as well, that they were kind of moving from this place of like, look, we know what last year was, and it wasn't our best effort. It wasn't good. It wasn't what anybody wanted or desired necessarily, but we can build off of that and we can learn from it. And this is a program, Jake, that has had such major success. You wouldn't say that there haven't been setbacks, but I wouldn't say that there have been a ton of struggles over the last 5 years either. Last year felt like a massive struggle for a lot of facets of the game for Georgia. And mind you, they still made the playoff and were able to get in, but this was not the expectation. It was not what they had hoped to do. And I think that kind of spilled over. And you're seeing that kind of mentality running through these guys of like, hey, yeah, we did it this way last year. Clearly that didn't work. How can we take it further from there?
Yeah, and Monroe Freeling's comments to me were very – Oscar Delp's were more interesting, but those were more individual. You know, again, a player calling out himself, I feel like Monroe Freeling did, is pretty rare. But I'm sorry, Oscar Delp did. But Monroe Freeling said his comments, I think that sometimes we were more worried about not failing than succeeding. And I think we thought that we were more just senior heavy. So we thought we were there, basically. They had arrived. I really think we should have focused more on our fundamentals. And that's something that, you know, I have hypothesized about. Like, I haven't sit here and said, listen, I think this was Georgia's problem. But it's something that I've brought up a few times, which is there's been this natural hierarchy of you sit the bench for a couple of years and learn. Then you get mixed into a rotation, and then you move into a starter's role, and then you graduate, and then somebody else who has followed that same pattern comes in behind. And rather than have like what Georgia has now, which Kirby called a new cast of characters behind, you know, some experienced guys that are just scratching and clawing and doing everything they possibly can to get onto the football field. Your Ja Jacksons and Bo Hewleys and Michael Looney's and Daniel Calhoun, all of those guys, they are all kind of in this, hey, it's go time. You need it. You know, like you need to do it now or, you know, these guys might move on. He mentioned Nyjer Daniels is another one. So I thought that was interesting. But Oscar Delp is the one that really kind of, I don't know. I don't know that he was the only one that felt this way, but he didn't speak for anybody with himself. He said, there were times last year when I had 1 foot out the door, when I feel like I had 1 foot out the door. I was thinking about things I shouldn't have been thinking about. And it kind of hurt me in ways I didn't think would happen. Then I kind of figured it out later in the year, how I should practice, how I should be leading that room. And I tell you, Jake, there's a line of delineation where you can tell basically where that happened. And it happened after that Ole Miss game. He had 0 catches for 0 yards, big game against Tennessee, 2 touchdowns, another touchdown against UMass, catches the touchdown to open the scoring in the second half against Georgia Tech. And one of the best Georgia touchdown sellies I've ever seen, you know, kicks the door in and Georgia comes back and wins that game. I don't think Oscar was the only person feeling that way. I don't think Oscar was the only kid dealing with that last year. And none of this absolves coaching because good coaches, most of the time, not all of the time, recognize those things and they head them off at the pass or they recognize those things and they get the guys right. That didn't happen enough last year for Georgia to avoid hitting his head on a Sugar Bowl ceiling. But it's refreshing, I would say. And I say this as somebody who, listen, grew up following this program. It's refreshing to hear somebody come out and be that candid about what went wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, that's not the kind of stuff that they're coached to say. You know, that's the thing that we get a lot, right, is all that, oh, well, you know, we're trying to get better one day at a time, blah, blah, blah. Nobody told Oscar Delp to go out and say, hey, I was focused on the wrong stuff last year. And like you said, Jake, it feels like, and obviously he didn't take this approach necessarily and put it on anybody else, but it's not hard to believe that he was not alone in that feeling and in that action.
Yeah, I would be absolutely shocked. And it doesn't really benefit any of the seniors to kind of say that's the way they felt because they're trying to impress NFL draft scouts, right? That and an NFL draft scouts don't want to hear, hey, I think I wasn't as all here as I should have been last year. I think I was kind of moving on. No, but they don't want to hear that. So you're not going to hear them say it. But again, this is not – if we were sitting here talking about the Buck Ballew comments about Mike Bobo and how everybody wants Stacey Searles gone, I would be pushing back and saying, listen, it's never one guy's fault. It's never one or two guys' fault when you're talking football. You're talking about a wide array of things. Now, is one guy good enough to come in and change some things and get you a ton better? Absolutely. I'm not trying to say that's not the case. But more often than not, you're dealing with a little bit from a lot. And that's what I feel like that's what Georgia was. And I think Oscar Delp and Monroe Freeling kind of gave us a spoonful of what the trough was for Georgia last year, which was probably a little bit of rat poison, was probably a little bit of, hey, they heard how great they were all last spring, man. You remember that? Like, you remember, like, everybody was so worried about the D-line because every practice report we had was, man, the offense dominated again today. And I had a source tell me at the end of the season, when it was all over, I said, man, what happened to that offensive line in the spring? And he goes, man, they peaked in spring. The best they got was this spring. And I'll defend them a little bit here, too. Jared Wilson dinged up in preseason camp. Tate Ratledge lost early in the year. Ernest Green, early season injury, fights back from it, late season injury. Monroe Freeling got hurt. Micah Morris got hurt. Jared Wilson got hurt again. By the time it was all over, the two people that Georgia fans would probably push off the side of a cliff over everybody else, Xavier Truss and Drew Bobo, were the only two guys that were able to stay healthy all year.
Yeah.
So, and I think those guys are pretty good players. It was a myriad of issues, and Georgia did a poor job dealing with them in terms of offensive success and finding consistency. They did a really good job of dealing with them in terms of figuring out a way to win ball games and winning an SEC title. And if you'll compartmentalize and, you know, not get, you know, too wrapped up in, you know, putting people on the streets and getting rid of them, then I think everybody would kind of understand that that where Kirby Smart's coming from. We'll see if he made the right move and not making any changes.
I won't do it. I won't compartmentalize.
Do not.
I refuse. I will not go gentle into that good night.
Hey, you would say it was gentle. The guys over at Sunheist, these things feel smooth on your face, man. They're built for all day comfort. Sunheist, they're local. They're high quality shades. And listen, there's nothing you can find that's wrong with them. They're affordable. They have a lifetime warranty. They're built for comfort. The polarization is injected, so there's no delamination. They don't fade over time. And like I said, Shane and Mary Heist, they live over in Jefferson, Georgia. You've probably seen them around. You didn't know it. Shane used to have a big Land Cruiser that was just completely wrapped up in Sun Heist gear. It was my introduction to them. I saw it just riding around one day. I was like, dude, this guy, I got to meet him. I got to figure out what's going on. And through conversations over the years, we figured out, hey, let's get a partnership going here. Dogs HQ fans, we know that you guys will enjoy Sun Heist. Go check them out. Think you can pick your fit, you can pick your style, and you can protect your eyes better more than anything else, because these things are high quality and they're awesome. So
I mean, if they fit our big ass heads, they'll fit your big ass.
That's correct. That is correct. There's a whole section, actually. There's a whole way to search for, you know, big hits. And there's our friends over at American Pride Bank getting a little bit of love there too, our presenting sponsor. We're on top of it today.
Jake Rowe has mastered screen sharing.
Sometimes I feel like when we're really bad, we're actually kind of good.
Yeah.
But I don't think this is one of those days. I think this is just bad. hey, I will say this though. Elijah Griffin must be a bad man, because there's more love for Elijah Griffin. Now, this time I will say he was asked about him. Warren Brinson was asked about him the other day, but so was Jordan Hall. And Jordan Hall wanted to give us the lithium ion answer. Like, he wanted to say, yeah, he's got good work ethic, but he went ahead and turned loose and said some pretty interesting things about him. I'm not going to try to screen share here. Who would try and do such a thing? Only a moron would make that same mistake twice. But here's what Jordan Hall had to say about Elijah Griffin. He said, he reminds me a lot of myself as far as work ethic, but not when it comes to the weight room. I was not as strong as he was when I first got here. You could tell why he was a top five recruit in his class, and he still has a lot more work to do. But at the end of the day, he's going to be a good one. He's going to be a good one. You could tell he's a hard worker. He has good work ethic, strong as all get out. You know what I'm saying? He's an ox. You know what I'm saying? So he's a good kid. That takes you a long way. I love the you know what I'm
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, yeah. The back to back, you know what I'm saying. Like, hey, yeah, like, you get it. You get this,
hey,
right?
Hey, you know what I'm saying? He's an ox. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, right.
I think you need to understand what I'm saying here.
Jake, and I put this on the board today, and I'm curious if what caught my attention about that is typically we hear, you step on campus, those rankings go out the window. For Jordan Hall to bring that up, it feels like he is saying, look, this was justified, all right? This is a real deal. This is what a five-star guy looks like. I mean, you know, you do not hear that brought up very frequently at all once guys make it to the next level. And I thought that that was a really telling comment on his part to bring it up.
100%. It's a telling comment on his part. Just to kind of dig into, just to editorialize about this kid.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if this is a new era of Georgia football in terms of them letting the guys speak about what they want to speak about, but it was more candid. Listen, I could have sit there and listened to Jordan Hall read the phone book last night. I want to get to that too. Like, he was phenomenal. His Joseph Jonah, I'm so sad. I was planning on throwing that on the screen share. But his impression of Joseph Jonah Ajanye telling them that he heals fast because he has superior genetics is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It looked like a Key and Peele skit. It was hilarious. And then they asked him to do a Kirby impression, and he said, I had to bleep a lot of that out. So, yeah. He was wonderful. It was great. But yeah, just that candor. And in this situation, I think there may be a little bit of a different reason for it. And I think it's because Elijah Griffin may just be kind of undeniable. You know, those defensive linemen, when Georgia was recruiting him and they were hosting him and they were spending time with him, you know, they busted out his huddle whenever he wasn't looking or when he wasn't around, or maybe when he was around and they watched it and they had the same reaction that Palmer Toms did when he threw a bunch of four-letter words out in that van in Austin, Texas, the first time he had watched his film, which was, beep, beep, beep. Palmer was excited. So, and it sounds like, you know, Elijah Griffin has given, you know, the Georgia players, the Georgia coaching staff, all of those guys, a lot of reasons to be excited.
Yeah, look, you hear these comparisons in the world of recruiting, right? And you think that's a lot to put on somebody. And the one that we got kind of consistently across the Elijah Griffin recruitment and from Charles Power, the director of scouting at On3, was Derrick Brown. And I thought, that's an insane thing to say. Derrick Brown was, you and I both covered Derrick Brown in high school. He was so dominant. And then it was a seamless transition. He was dominant in college. He's gone on to be an incredible pro. He was, like you said, the word you use.
I'm going to give you a hot take, though. He wasn't as dominant in college as he could have been if he'd have went to a place that was actually a good place to be at the time.
But he was a hell of a player.
Yeah. He was just in on the back end of a right. coaching tenure and all that stuff. And Auburn wasn't what Auburn – like if Auburn – I think if he played at Auburn right now, he would be a better football player. If he'd have played at Alabama or Georgia during that period.
Oh, yeah.
But you're right. You're 100% right. Just complete dominant player. You know, the kind of guy that would – from
no-brainer.
Position, the word you 17 used. Or 18 tackles.
The word you used, undeniable. I mean, Derrick Brown, you knew in high school, undeniable. Got to college, undeniable. First-round pick in the NFL, goes to the NFL – he's a stalwart for the franchise, man. They'll probably never let Derrick Brown out of Carolina if they have anything to do with it.
And if Derrick Brown's got any sense, he'll leave Carolina like the Colts left Baltimore.
No question
about it. In the middle of the night.
Yeah, I would love to see him in Atlanta, I'll tell you that. But this is – you heard those comparisons, and I always hesitate with that stuff because I'm like, man, that's just a lot to put on anybody. And I didn't have a chance to see Elijah play in person in high school. I saw the film. Film speaks for itself. But you also wondered, too, hey, look, this is the private school leagues. You know, Lanier was playing in a different league as well. He was Derrick Brown was playing better competition, ultimately, at the end of the day. You saw Elijah go to the camps. You saw him go to the All-American games. You saw him kind of go
to Cedar Grove in the state championship.
Absolutely. You go. He ended up in situations where he was playing big-time guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it was never a trying to rise to their level. He was there and above. And that seems like it is translated over in a way that is really, really hard to pull off. And like you said, just kind of speaks to an undeniable and special player.
Yeah. And I will say that there's going to be a lot of expectations because there's this buzz right now and we're reporting on the buzz. And I do think he's going to play and be a big part of the defensive line situation for Georgia in 2025, so long as he's healthy. But I can already see it happening right now. If he's not playing 20 snaps a game for the first three or four games, where'd he go? What did he do?
He'll be the Ellis Robinson of this year.
Yeah, he's still going to have to work his way in. He's still going to have to become that guy. Even Jalen Carter, as good as he was as a freshman, came along slowly. There's some things that you're going to do at Georgia, and it's not a physicality thing. It's you got to learn how to read blocks. You read the feet of the offensive line in front of you in terms of how you play those blocks. And playing D-line is more than just getting in a gap and working up field in a lot of places now, and especially at Georgia. And that's the way it's always going to be. Because of the way that it kind of the way Georgia plays and the way it relieves stress on the second and third levels of the defense. And you know, those are all kind of inside baseball things we can get to later on. Listen, Georgia has a new offer out at the running back position. So give me some intel here real quick. We're going to pull up these highlights. Will Rejecki. Will Rejecki. Listen, look at those numbers. Those numbers are great. They're beautiful numbers.
What are you doing today?
I try to do that every chance I get. Beautiful dog. Beautiful numbers. What's the deal here, though? Another running back offer.
Yeah.
We know they want two. Do they want three?
Yeah, it definitely feels that way, Jake. And I'll tell you this, you probably would not have offered Will Rejecki if you were not going to take three, because not that he's not worth a scholarship, but because there's probably a pretty good chance that Will Rejecki ends up in your class.
Yeah.
Will Rejecki's grandfather played for Vince Dooley back in the day. His mom, a cheerleader at Georgia as well. He said, this one was pretty special for me, man. This one meant a lot to me. Big Georgia family. And look, this is not a – don't adjust your screens here if you're seeing Sequoia and thinking, I don't remember a lot of guys from Georgia coming out of there. I can't recall one in the 10 years I've been doing this that came from Sequoia High School.
I went to football camp at Jim Donnan football camp back in like 1998, 97 with a kid from Sequoia. It's the only person I've ever known that went to Sequoia High School.
I'm not even sure it's a real place, but no, Sequoia
is. And they're not even have been open by the
time. No, Sequoia, I think you may be right. Sequoia down there outside of Canton in that area, but they've had some guys come through. They had a defensive back a couple years ago that I covered. He went to Colorado. But this guy, man, really showed out against some tremendous competition, lit up Gainesville in the playoffs. He's a guy who does a little bit of it all from the backfield, Jake. A good receiver out of the backfield, has the speed to take off and run. He's got himself listed on the Twitter profile as a 4.5 on the laser. 6 foot, 200 pounds, gets between the tackles. Oh, he's going to lay a block right here. Boom, boom. I'm driving you. Gone, down.
That was more like a reverse bulldog.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, so this kid, man, I see where it's coming from. They've had a chance to evaluate him, but like I said, Jake, the running back situation, it feels like you want to take three. You were down to one last year after Ousmane Chroma leaves, and luckily Bo Walker sounds like he's making some big noise. But you get out there, you're wondering about the Robinsons, what they're going to be able to do.
I'm going to interrupt you. I love that splitting out and running quick slants from running backs. That's pretty nasty.
Yeah. I mean, so this kid, and see, the thing about it is you see a guy doing that, and that's kind of been what the gadget guy has been doing, right? That's been what you're finding a role for the 5'9", 5'10 guy to do. This kid's doing this at 6'1", or 6 foot, 200 pounds, man. I mean, look, between the tackles, boom, boom, boom. All right, now I'm gone.
Yeah, that's Barry Sanders.
Yeah, so this kid, I really like it. I had a chance to speak with him, go over, check the story out at Dogs HQ. Will Rejecki, a name to know for sure. Said he plans to commit probably in June-ish, wants to take an official visit to Georgia. Said Georgia's real high on the board now. But look, this is a special one, man. This is a special offer for this young man, and definitely a name Georgia fans need to get to know. Like I said, I don't think it affects anything with anybody else. I think that they're going to go for two more backs. There's some tremendous options in this class. Jake, Jay Lamar, Savion Hyder, Carson Baker, Jerrion Campbell.
Amari, I love Latimer. Carson Baker, man. I am such a big Carson
Baker. I'm a Jay Lamar guy.
I am too. I like him too.
I love his tape.
I'm all for Georgia getting three in-state backs in this class. I think that would be great. But listen, Derek Cooper and Savion Hyder and the kid that was on campus this past weekend for multiple days.
Javion Osborne.
I mean, all of those guys are involved. Love all six of those backs. I think that's six. If I can count five or six of those backs, I'll take any three. Give me any three. But absolutely, you're probably going to have this guy.
A deep year, and they need it. And so I think that, I think that this is a guy, like I said, I think that you don't pull the trigger on this offer without expecting that he may be a part of this class at some point because of all of the deep connections. This is a Georgia family that this kid's coming from. He's not from too far away from Athens over there in Canton. So big one to watch, guys. Get to know Will Rejecki now. Go check out the film. Like I said, like what he's doing in that frame. I've seen your face over here. You're making some faces watching this.
Well, I'm having light bulbs are going off in my head with a name like Rejecki, and the frame, like 6 feet, 200 pounds. The pigmentation of his skin doesn't hurt. I'm thinking, you know, real versatile fullback kind of, two-back type of guy, you know, or like the kind of guy you can get involved in two-back.
The true H-back, right?
Yeah, or not really. A H-back is so much as like a, you know, like the 49ers use Kyle Juszczyk, you know, sure. I mean, you know, like, you know, the way they use Juice, it's kind of a, you know, they don't hand it off to him a whole lot, but they throw it to him. They split him out. They put him here. You know, they just move him around as a chess piece, and they know that he can block.
Jeremy Johnson gave an interesting comparison. He said Bucky Irving.
Okay.
And I was like, huh, okay, I can see that.
I thought Bucky Irving was kind of tiny.
Bucky Irving's not the biggest guy, I don't think, but I think he was saying that you could use him in the same way.
Yeah, use him. I see that. I can see that. But, yeah, just a big-time all-around weapon, I feel like. And, listen, that willingness to block from the running back position, just not, you know, not easy to find. It's not that guys don't want to do it, but guys want to tote the rock now, and the fullback position is not really around. And so you're kind of looking for kind of a blocking tailback that you can use in those situations. Georgia's also used Zamir White and Roderick Robinson in those roles. So
I just wanted to confirm this. I did a little bit of quick research here. Rejecki, a Polish last name. So I feel like we've got an opportunity here to bring up the classic name of Ivan Putski, the classic wrestler. This kid could be the Polish Hammer, man.
Yeah, I love that. The Polish Hammer. The Polish Hammer. All right. Lastly, but not leastly, and I love making up words. Hoop Underdogs take on Gonzaga. All right, this is it. Last time we're going to get a chance to talk to you before Georgia plays.
I thought you were just going to go ahead and say, that's it. This last game Georgia's playing this season.
I would never do that. I would never do that. I believe in these dogs. This is it. This might be the last time we get a chance to talk to you right before a Georgia NCAA tournament for 10 years. Okay. Like maybe another 10 years before we get to do this again. But no, Georgia Bulldogs versus Bulldogs. You know, Gonzaga has caused a lot of controversy here in the Georgia market this week. There's been so much, ballyhoo about, you know, who's a Georgia fan and who isn't. One of the most hilarious things I've ever witnessed in my entire life. But dogs against Zags and they're underdogs. I think 6.5-point dogs. Have you done anything to brush up on Georgia basketball so you're ready for this tournament, Jay Grew? How much research have you put in?
None.
No,
I'm not gonna lie to you, Jake. I am not. I just can't get invested in it. I'm sorry. We talked about this on the Bill Shank Show yesterday. I have never kept up with Georgia basketball because historically they suck. And I know they haven't really this year, but they were super frustrating. And even people who followed it this year at multiple times were like, I'm out, I'm done, I'm giving it up on it. So I never got really invested in it. Will I watch the game? Yeah, absolutely. I'll watch the game tomorrow for sure. And I'll have it on and you know, I'll follow it. But I'd be lying to you to tell you I knew anything about how these two teams match up. I think that historically, I would feel much better about Gonzaga just because they understand this atmosphere about as well as anybody out there. What, it's been like a decade they've made the Sweet 16?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah, yes, so look, there's something to be said for that. If you use the transitive property, it's like Georgia football, right? You expect them to win. You expect them to be in the playoffs. Same thing with Gonzaga, man. I mean, you do it 10 straight years. You understand how that thing works. So the pressure is all on Georgia. But I think for that reason, they can kind of go out and play a little faster.
Yeah, I see it different. I think the pressure is all on Gonzaga. They're the ones that are – they're the favorites. They're the 8 seed. They're the ones that people can – I think they're in Ken Pom's top 10. Top 10 overall teams in the entire tournament. You know, there's no doubt with them. And there's something to be said for the experience, and there's also something to be said for the hunger. There's also something to be said for hey, a star, you know, a starving animal is a dangerous animal. And I think a lot of it is going to depend on, and I'm not saying, you know, hey, watch out for bad officiating here. A lot of it's going to depend on whistles for Georgia. And I say that because of this. Gonzaga is a really good offensive basketball team, number 2 in the country in scoring offense, 86.6 points a game. Now, they haven't played a very tough schedule. A lot of the early teams that they scheduled that were really good teams, looked like they were going to be really good teams on paper, either ended up kind of borderline Q1 type teams or, you know, not making the tournament at all. And they lost some of those games. But Georgia's going to come out with a ton of, because of the layoff that they've had, a ton of defensive intensity and a ton of defensive pressure. And they're going to be playing extremely hard. Can they do that without fouling? Can they do that without getting Asa Newell or Silas Demery into foul trouble? You know, can they not basically lose the services of RJ Godfrey, who is a pretty good matchup for Gonzaga's leading scorer? I think that that's something that they've got to, you know, be mindful of. I think Georgia's going to come in, they're going to play hard, they're going to get all that. But if they can defend early without fouling, I love Georgia's chances to win this game, because this is not the run you out of the gym type of Gonzaga team, unless Georgia gives it a lot of help, unless Georgia gives it a little bit of a boost there. We'll have a little bit more on the game at Dogs HQ later on today, but we could not do a show without like at least bringing up the game. And the game time, it's the NCAA tournament. Who knows whether or not it's going to start on time if it's not the first game of the day, but approximately 4:25 p.m. Eastern time on TBS. All of us who grew up loving TBS because of sports, we get to go back to it for once. And that's going to feel great too. At least there's Skip Carey and Pete Van Waren will not be on the call though. And that'll be sad.
Yeah, right. Down, man. And no WCW Saturday night
the main event.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it though, man. Like I said, I don't really care about basketball, college basketball in general, but March Madness is fun and I'm glad George is there, man. I'll be looking forward to checking it out.
You want to meet up and like Dahlonega or something and watch it?
I told Bill Shanks that if I entered his bracket challenge and won, I wanted his Rochelle frequency.
Wilcox County, baby. You get Nick Marshall on get Nick Marshall on for a show. You want his Rochelle frequency? Yeah, hey, I think you're picking a good one. That one's on the come up. That Rochelle frequency is flying. Absolutely. All right, guys, we appreciate you all. We appreciate American Pride Bank for sponsoring this. Our friends over at Sun Heist, you guys are great. Let's go ahead and say it. Go Dogs in the NCAA tournament. Go make a move. Go do something fun. All right. Go give these fans something to cheer about. Who knows when you're going to get back. Y'all take care.